Everyone, thank you for tuning in to Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 2 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Melissa Kane Travis, who serves as assistant professor of Christian apologetics at Houston Baptist University, where she teaches philosophy and scientific apologetics. Melissa is also author of 3 books in a series that teaches the fundamentals of Christian apologetics to young children. The 4th book in that series, How Do We Know Right from Wrong, is forthcoming in 2016. Melissa has an MA in Science and Religion from Biola University and is currently pursuing a PhD. She has written an article called Motherhood and the Life of the Mind, which is the cover story of the current issue, Volume 39, Number 1 of the Christian Research Journal. Melissa, it's good to have you on.
Thank you, Melanie, for having me.
Well, having worked in apologetics for many years, I know that not many women are professionally involved in this field. So what first drew you to study apologetics?
You know, I'm one of those people that are sometimes referred to as cradle Christians. I grew up in a Christian home. I came of age in a small town in rural North Carolina. I attended a relatively small high school and then went on to graduate from a private Christian university. So my life up until that point was simply filled with people who shared my worldview to a very great extent. Soon after I finished college, though, I moved to Houston, big city compared to where I grew up. And I went to work for a biomedical lab, and it so happened that it was a lab filled with people with a wide diversity of worldviews, everything from atheism to universalism. There were nominal Catholics. There were very liberal Episcopalians. It was pure psychological overload for someone with my background, and very quickly I found that I was extremely ill-prepared to navigate conversations with my coworkers. And these were conversations that surprisingly came up very frequently when you're sitting there at a lab bench and your hands are busy and your mind's going a mile a minute. So a couple of months into that, as I kind of agonized through these awkward conversations, I ended up being offered a job with a big biotech startup here in Houston and ended up running a lab alongside one other coworker who happened to be Hindu. He was around my same age, and I initiated lots of conversations with him just out of curiosity about his religion, which I had never been exposed to at all. And the Holy Spirit really used that situation in my life, mainly to show me that I had some very serious work to do. There I was, 23 years old, pretty much a lifelong Christian, and I could not articulate why I believed what I believed. So about 2 months into this new job, I'm on a lunch break one day. I'm across the street at Barnes & Noble browsing the bargain bookshelf, which was something I did frequently. And this big, fat, gold-colored book caught my eye. And it was called The New Evidence That Demands a Verdict, written by Josh McDowell. I'd never heard of McDowell, but I picked up the book and read the back cover. And instantly, I knew that it was no coincidence that I had stumbled upon it that day. It was clearly God's hand moving in my life. And that was the very day, at 23 years old, that I encountered the word apologetics for the very first time. And the rest is just basically a history of God directing me, first in years of self-study, and then later on, he led me to graduate school.
Well, it seems like in your story, which could be typical for someone who maybe lives in more of a churched culture, Sierra is located in North Carolina, so I live here and I can relate a little bit to what you're saying. It seems that there's not as much active maybe discipleship in this area. So what would you see as the primary goal of apologetics when it comes to discipleship, especially to younger Christians and younger children and teenagers and middle schoolers?
Well, primarily, I look at apologetics as an exercise in obeying the greatest commandment, loving God with our minds. And by doing this, we're dedicating our reason and our ability to think critically to the glory of the Lord. These capacities are what I think are what it means when the Bible says we're made in the image of God. We're given these distinctive abilities, and we need to dedicate them to the best of our ability to the Lord and to kingdom work. And then beyond that, at least in my experience, having a basic grounding in this area is extremely faith-affirming. In times throughout my life, since I started the study of apologetics, when I felt that God was very distant, holding on to objective, defensible truths of Scripture was incredibly encouraging and faith-affirming for me. I never went through what you might call a crisis of faith, but there were definitely low points where I just felt that great disconnection. And just by studying objective reasons for why I believe what I believe was a great help to me.
So it seems like in your story with your coworker that apologetics would naturally come up. So what's the connection between apologetics and evangelism and sharing the gospel with unbelievers?
Well, obviously, on my experiences after moving to Houston, we're in a culture that's increasingly secular, where even the concept of objective truth is called into question, at least when it falls outside the scope of the empirical sciences. And there are so many people out there that don't know the Lord and have intellectual obstacles to taking the truth claims of Christianity seriously. And I think apologetics helps us to basically meet them where they are. We cater to their need for rational arguments and good evidence before we ask them to believe something. And anytime we're sharing the gospel, we first consider what needs that particular person has. In some parts of the developing world, that might be clean water, food, or shelter. But in America in particular, the need's often intellectual. So just like we wouldn't neglect the physical needs of those we're trying to reach in a third world country, I'm convinced we shouldn't neglect the intellectual needs that we commonly encounter in American culture. We have to minister to the minds that have been taken captive by secularism.
Well, like we talked about at the very beginning of this interview, you are pursuing an advanced degree in apologetics. And like I said, there's not that many women in this field. So why do you think more women in particular aren't, you know, actively learning and using apologetics?
I think it's a combination of things. First of all, there seems to be this widespread perception that apologetics is just for scholars, that the material's too difficult for someone who isn't an expert. And then also fields like theology and apologetics are often regarded as being very male-dominated, and I think that is intimidating to a lot of women when they don't firsthand see other women active in that field, or they haven't been exposed to the women that are working in the field of apologetics. And so it's just an intimidation factor. And then third, I think there's been a failure on the part of the church, quite frankly, to encourage women towards the more intellectually rigorous disciplines. And if you just look at, for instance, Bible studies that are offered at your local neighborhood church, you're going to see a reflection of this. Often there are good Bible studies offered, but very surface level in terms of the intellectual rigor or the depth of the material or any attempt to weave in deeper theology and philosophical apologetics. So I think it's really a combination of those things.
Well, those are some of the factors, but you mentioned that it can be intimidating. So how do you encourage Christian moms who do feel that apologetics and theology is too complicated or it's too overwhelming or frankly too intimidating? I have had moms tell me that they know it should apply to their lives, but they just don't know how they would even weave it in. They're just so overwhelmed by just this vast kind of discipline, and how would they even use that practically?
Right. So I commonly encounter moms who just feel inadequate. And then, like you said, they're wondering, how is this applicable to my parenting? How can I incorporate this into my parenting? And what I tell women first and foremost is you should already be having conversations with your children about the big questions. And what apologetics will do is it will simply equip you better to have answers to those big questions. And they're going to come up inevitably. My son, my older son, started asking questions about the existence of God when he was 7 years old. And fortunately, and by the grace of God, I was already a few years into graduate study in apologetics, and I was prepared to talk with him about the obvious doubts he had about the truth of the Bible. And so I like to share my own story regarding myself and my children with them, and just kind of try to take the fear factor out completely while also making a strong impression on them about the importance of incorporating apologetics into day-to-day conversations with your kids.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Melissa Kane Travis, who has written an article for the Christian Research Journal called Motherhood and the Life of the Mind. You will want to read it. As thanks for your gift and support of the work of the Christian Research Institute, you can get a free copy of this issue in which Melissa's article appears, along with one or more of her apologetics books for kids. This is available at equip.org. Melissa, we were just talking about how children ask spiritual questions, but yet parents not really being prepared to answer them. I remember back when my oldest, who's now in college, was a three-year-old, and he was asking about the Trinity. And so I think children are wondering about spiritual things at a very young age. But why do you think there's a lack of teaching in Christian homes? Why are parents not engaging their kids on spiritual things?
I think it goes back to the fear factor, the intimidation factor. They simply aren't equipped. And as I said, I think there are several reasons for why they are not, both based on personal responsibility and a deficiency on the church's part. So I guess I would say that the best thing that we can do as far as encouragement to them is just demonstrate. You know, I think that they need to be exposed to other parents who are doing hard work in this area, exposed to literature specifically aimed at parents that encourages them and also helps equip them to have the really good big question conversations with their kids.
Well, I know, I'm sure you're in the same situation, that you're busy and you've got your kids in all these different activities. And I think American moms today and parents are quite busy. So how do you encourage very busy parents that this is should be a priority to educate their children in apologetics?
With every single public platform God gives me, I do my very best to communicate the importance of this to mothers and also give them advice for making time in their very busy schedules for learning. Often they don't even realize how much they can accomplish with just a few minutes a day of dedicated learning. And then often they don't even know where to start. I try very hard to stay away from scare tactics because I think that that produces a very short-term benefit. I don't try to frighten them with stories of children walking away from the faith in college and things like that, although I think those statistics are very important and have a good place in making the case for the importance of apologetics. But I find it more effective to start out just by impressing upon them the urgency of training our kids in the cultural climate, but doing so in a way that feels accessible to them, something that they can tackle right now where they are in life with just a few minutes of learning a day.
So in your own experience with your kids, what have you found to be effective in terms of addressing this issue with them or engaging them in apologetics and theology?
Well, my kids respond very positively to conversational learning, and I tend to use a more Socratic style. And what I mean by that is I like to ask them pointed questions, but non-intimidating questions, and then kind of guide them in their own critical thinking process. And not only do they enjoy expressing their own thoughts or being asked what they think about important topics, they tend to retain a lot of what we talk about much more so than if I just hand them a book to read. So even someone with a basic knowledge of apologetics could do this kind of thing with their children very effectively. It really just starts by asking them stimulating questions and getting them thinking about it, even if you're doing your learning right alongside of that.
That's great. I know in my own parenting with my kids that a lot of questions just come up sometimes naturally just in the course of the day. And then there are kind of springboards in which we can talk about things theologically or talk about apologetics if they ask a specific question about another religion or something to that nature. So that, for me, even at a very young age, my kids were talking about those kinds of issues with me. So what do you think are the most important topics to cover before a child leaves for college? I know that's a question I had because my child just left for college this fall.
Well, I think there's a huge variety of topics that would be beneficial, but I generally start with a top three list. And my top three list would include objective truth, in other words, combating this idea of relativism, especially when it comes to issues of morality. Secondly, the reliability of the Gospels, because the truth of the Bible is challenged almost first thing when a child goes off to a secular university. And then third, I'd say the intersection of science and faith, because of how much our culture has succumbed to this issue I referred to a little earlier, what we would call scientism, or science being the only way to truth, and then this widespread myth that science and Christianity are in utter conflict with one another. So those are my top three. And being just knowledgeable in those can equip a child quite well, I think, for the different types of opposition that they're going to face, not only from professors in a secular school, for example, but also from the new friends that they make as they go out into the wider college world.
I would say that my child's experience at college is now it's less hostile, but they approach it in kind of a matter-of-fact way and even couch it in, I'm not trying to change your mind, in such a casual way, but then completely present an anti-Christian worldview. So it is very interesting. I think they have an easier entree if it seems less hostile. And I think to your list, I would add one more, and that would be a biblical view of sexuality. What would be your suggestions for how churches can get started encouraging specifically women, because we're talking about motherhood and the life of the mind, to develop their minds, and especially in the areas of apologetics and theology?
I think two things would be highly effective. First of all, offering group studies on topics like this. I referenced earlier the list of Bible studies that you would often see at your average evangelical Protestant church, and how lacking those often are in terms of this kind of content. So I think, first of all, women's ministries need to look very hard into offering more theology and apologetics education for their women. And then also, I would highly recommend that they think of inviting female scholars to present to their women from time to time. I think that when women see other women specifically working in these kinds of fields, it's a big encouragement and it takes away some of the intimidation. A hurdle really seems to be just informing women's ministry leaders that such things are available and then convincing them to give it a try. I think there's probably some hesitancy. They worry, well, our women might not be receptive to this. They might be too afraid of it. They might think that it will go right over their heads. But I think they'll be pleasantly surprised by the response. In my experience, the first time I taught a women's Bible study on apologetics at a church that had never offered such thing before, it was the highest attended summer study they had ever offered. The women were not only faithful in attendance and with doing their homework from week to week, but they had excellent questions. And just the stories that I got, especially from mothers and grandmothers who said, if only I had had this information 10 years ago when my kids were still at home, it would have saved so much heartache, and now just pray with me that my children will come back to a belief in the Lord. So that's what I think churches need to be doing right now, sooner rather than later.
And what do you think would happen to just, I think, our culture if parents were more equipped in apologetics? I know that I was talking to a non-Christian student recently, and she said that one of the things that she felt like Christians her age didn't really know is understand why they believed what they did. And that was just something that gave her pause.
Right. You know, Lee Strobel said in an article I read not too long ago that he firmly believes we're entering right now what he calls the golden age of apologetics. And I think he means a lot of different things by that beyond what he articulated in the short article. We're looking at a time right now when the resources in apologetics are exploding. We're seeing resources come out for younger children. We're seeing resources for parents. Lots of different entry-level topical studies for those that don't have a scholarly background in these areas. And our society, our Christian community in particular, is ripe for this kind of information. And I think that if we are diligent in taking advantage of the situation right now as our society is heading in a more secular direction, and we well ground our children, I think in the coming decades we're going to see enormous fruits from this. We're going to have kids that have a well-reasoned faith rather than a borrowed faith like I entered the world with. You know, here I was in my 20s, and I couldn't tell you why I believed what I believed at that time. And this could be a huge impact on the kingdom here in the next several decades. I think we'll see a marked amount of fruit from this.
Well, I think that's a very encouraging word to end on. And I finally want to end our interview with asking you some fun rapid-fire questions. So what's the favorite book your kids have that they like you to read to them?
Oh, goodness. My kids are big fans of the Narnia Chronicles. And I love using those as literary apologetics with them. There's so much material in those stories for starting good conversations on faith and apologetics.
Okay, great. And how about tea or coffee?
Oh, coffee.
And what are some books that you're currently reading, not for your coursework, for your PhD or work-related, but just reading for yourself personally?
Oh, goodness. I have a huge stack. My bedtime queue is what I think of it. I love reading about the influence of Greek culture on early Christianity, and I have a book I'm going through right now called Christianity and Classical Culture. I'm also very fascinated with Christian scientists of the scientific revolution era. So I'm reading a collection of letters written by Johann Kepler, and I find them remarkably faith-affirming. He just had such a deep faith in the Lord and a love of science at the same time.
That's wonderful. So thank you so much, Melissa, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Melissa has written the cover article of Volume 39, Number 1 of the Christian Research Journal called Motherhood and the Life of the Mind. You will want to read it. As thanks for your gift and support of the work of the Christian Research Institute, you can get a free copy of the issue in which Melissa's article appears, along with one or more of Melissa's apologetics books for kids. This is available at equip.org. Be sure you also tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you so much for joining us.